You are listening to BensTorah.com.
So Hilchos Purim Be'ezus Hashem. We're going to talk about three different points. We'll see if we have time for all three. Totally unrelated. One is about reading your Chumash along with the Baal Kori who's reading his Megillah. The second point will be about Aseres Bnei Haman. The third point will be about Matanos or Matanos Tavion and Mashalach Manos. And maybe we'll talk about sending Mashalach Manos through the schools and organizations and shuls, but not actually giving your own. I will talk about that maybe at the end. So let's start with point number one. If you look in the first source, the Shulchan Aruch paskins a halacha that applies to every single person who doesn't have their own Megillah. And that is that if somebody is not doesn't have their own Megillah, they're holding a Chumash or a safer Megillah without the actual, not a real Megillah Megillah. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Purim, Siman Tafresh Tzadi Tziv Dalet, Misha Tofes Biado Megillah She'ena Kshera, you're holding a Chumash, let's say, Lo Yikra Im Shliach Tzibur El Shameh V'Shotzeh. Just watch with your eyes, do not read along with the Baal Koreh. A lot of times people want to read along because it helps them focus and the like, but no, you should just watch with your eyes. Says the Rama, V'chein lo yiseyeh shem adam al peh lachaz, and nobody should, murmur to the chazan with his own mouth because he's not reading it from inside a Megillah. And therefore, of course, you have to repeat those. We don't have to go into that right now. So why is it that you're not supposed to read along with the chazan? Why is it they're not supposed to read along? So comes Magen Avraham, commenting on this line of the Shulchan Aruch, and says, you know why you shouldn't read along? Because maybe the guy sitting next to you will be listening to you instead of listening to the Baal Koreh.
Strange.
The Shem Yitin Hashemeh Libo Lezeh HaKoreh V'lo L'Shliach Tzibur, quoting the Beis Yosef, which we'll see inside in a moment. That reason, if you just take that reason that we're worried that the guy sitting next to you might listen to you, and you're not going to be listening to the Chazan because you listen to the guy next to you, right? Let's say you listen to, you like the Chazan's voice better. So you have a seat next to the Chazan. He's Israeli. He knows how to say the words properly. He has a nice voice. And you'd rather listen to him than listen to the Baal Koreh. So therefore, the Chazan has to make sure if he's not learning from a Megillah, he should not say it out loud. Says the Magen Avraham, if that's the case, if that Beis Yosef is correct, that means that to mashma the huatzmo yochel lishma lahashliach tzibur afal pisha koreh. That means that if you're sitting, the only problem is that somebody else will listen to the wrong person. But there's nothing really wrong with you reading along in your Chumash, listening to the
Baal
Koreh. Meaning, if there was an essential problem, a fundamental problem, that you're not Yotzei, if you read from a Chumash while the Baal Koreh is reading the Megillah, we should have said that. But we didn't say that. We didn't say that you shouldn't read along because you don't have a Megillah. We just say, don't read along if you don't have a Megillah because somebody else might be listening to you and not be Yotzei with the right person because he's going to be Yotzei with you.
Why should the other person go ahead and lose concentration of the Shliach Tzibur and not you? It should be equal.
Yeah. It seems that the only problem is that somebody else will listen to the wrong person. But if because the other person is being silent. So he's listening to somebody. He might listen to the wrong person. You have in mind to be Yotzei with Shliach Tzibur. You just want to read along. It sounds, Magen Avraham says, it sounds like it is kosher. So we're coming out with maybe a little bit of a kula. Magen Avraham is coming out that if you don't have this problem, for example, you're reading really, really silently. You're reading really quietly, and no one else could hear you. So you don't have that chumrah that the Beis Yosef said that, someone else will listen to you instead of the real Shliach Tzibur, the real Baal Koreh, right? It sounds like you are Yotzei if you read yourself. Yeah, so if you do very quietly, he won't hear you. It sounds like you would be Yotzei, which is not like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you don't have a Megillah, don't read it yourself. And the Magen Avraham comes out that it depends on the case.
What would be the halacha of Shnayim Mikaveh Targum? Can you read along to be Yotzei Yoshnayim Mikaveh Targum?
So let's look at Nar Sosh number 3. I want to raise a question. The Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham explained that the problem with you reading along with your Chumash along the with the Baal Korei, reading with your Chumash, the problem is that somebody will listen to you and not to the Shliach Tzibur. Now, can I ask you a question? Why can't he listen to both of you? We're worried that the listener, that the guy sitting next to you, right? I'm sitting with my Chumash, I have a beautiful voice, I'm going to explain, and the guy sitting next to me might listen to me instead of the Baal Korei with the Megillah. Maybe he'll listen to both.
So
you say you don't listen to right? You don't hear, so he's not going to hear anything. He's not going to be yotzei. Well, that doesn't work, because look at source number 3. The Gemara says that when it comes to when they used to have a mitargaman for the Kriyas HaTorah, Tanya is like the Bryce in Rosh Hashanah of Zion, but Torah echad korei v'echad mitargam. You should only have one Baal Korei and one person translating into
after, though.
Aramaic. Uvilvat, right? Of course, not simultaneous, but one after the other. Uvilvat shelo yehe echad korei shnai mitargam. You shouldn't have two mitargamim. And then the Bryce continues. V'halav and Megillah afilu asara korei. When it comes to halav and Megillah, then you could have multiple people saying it simultaneously. Why? Alma came to Chaviv Yoiv Daitai. Megillah and Halal, we don't care about Halal right now, but Megillah is something that people are excited about, are enthusiastic about, and therefore they will pay attention even if there are multiple voices. So if that's the case, Rabosai, we have a tremendous question. If that's the case, that people listen to multiple readers, multiple speakers during a Megillah, so even if I do read along with the Chazan, with the Baal Korei,
you're hearing you,
and the guy sitting next to me is listening to my voice out of the Chumash and the Chazan's voice out of the Megillah, he should still be yotzei. So we're back to square one. Why can't I read along with the Chazan? You're worried. Oh, the Magen Rosh said we're worried that you're going to listen to the wrong person. You listen to the guy sitting next to you, and not the Chazan. You can listen to both.
But once in a while, you only hear one of them. At that second, you miss one word. It's not going to. It's confusing. You don't have every single solitary word that you hear.
You have to be not confused. You just have to hear it with your ears. You heard it with your ears. So if you look at the Magen Avraham, actually, when the Magen Avraham said that we're worried you're going to listen to the wrong guy, he didn't say it on his own. He quoted, if you look in source number 2, the Magen Avraham quoted in the parentheses the Beis Yosef. Let's look at the Beis Yosef inside, and when we look at it inside, we'll have a little bit of a better perspective of what the real reason why you're not allowed to read along with a Baal Korei. Says Beis Yosef, he quotes a Rashba in the Tshuva. Beis Yosef in Siman Tafresh Tzadi quotes the Rashba, Kosov HaRashba Tshuva. Tshuva's HaRashba says the following. Ani Omer, Shekolt Shetofis Biyod HaMegillah She'en HaKshir Likras Ba. If you're holding a Chumash, an unkosher Megillah, a non-kosher Megillah, Perish Likras Ba Yav Shliach Tzibur, Griya Tuva Mishnayim Shekaru Asa. It's worse! Oh! He's saying it's not just like two people are laning, which, I could theoretically hear that because it's Chaviv. No, when two people are laning, when you're laning your Chumash and the Baal Korei is laning his Megillah, it's worse than two people reading something. A listener, that third person is listening, is worse off. Why? I think it means because the person who's listening is going to listen only to the wrong person, the guy with the Megillah Psula. Meaning, if I want to listen to multiple people at the same time, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah taught me that since Megillah is saying that's Chaviv, yes, it's true, you could listen to multiple people at the same time. But if you are a Bedavka who want to listen to the wrong one, then it's going to be a problem. Meaning, if there are three people all laning a Megillah simultaneously from a Kasher Megillah, are you Yotze?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it would come to anything else, you wouldn't be Yotze. But by Megillah, since it's Chaviv, you are Yotze.
Right.
That's if they're all laning from a proper Megillah. But if there are two people, one's laning from Megillah, one's laning from one that's not kosher,
of course,
we worry that you might listen to the one that's not kosher, and that's the problem.
An accidental, what you have to hear is one word, not that you cuff onto the whole Megillah, but you can wind up hearing one word, and it's no good.
I think you're saying that, many as you said, if he has his own Megillah, and it happens to be not kosher, but being that he's laying into Megillah, he thinks he actually has a Megillah, and therefore he's going to take his kriya as the one that predominates.
What do you mean he thinks? He knows what he has. He knows if he has a chumash or he has a
Megillah. But once he gets lost into the Kriya of the Megillah, he doesn't realize that.
What if you have a chumash? What if you have a chumash? You know you're not going to be yotzei with your chumash.
All right. That's possible.
Mishnah Berurah, adds another facet to this equation. He quotes what we just said, but he says the following. Says Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Simtav Reish Tzad. He says you shouldn't read along it from your chumash, D'shem, because maybe somebody who listen will listen to you and not to the Baal Koreh. And then he says, "Lefi tamzeh im korei rak la'adam echad." Ooh, let's say somebody's not feeling well; they're staying home. So you're going to volunteer. You're a good Baal Korei. You're going to go to their house and you'll take your kosher megillah and you'll lay it for them in their house. Are they allowed to read along? What did we say the whole problem was? The whole problem
somebody
was
else.
That a third person who's listening to the two readings—one from a kosher megillah, one from a chumash—will listen to the wrong one. Well, hey. If there's no third person there at all, it's just the Baal Koreh and the listener, it should come out that it's entirely permitted for the listener. Sometimes it helps the person focus better. Right? If I had my druthers, if it was up to me, I would love to read along with the Baal Koreh. Why? Because I'm going to focus better. I'm going to listen better. Oh, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to this rationale, if it's just the Baal Koreh reading for one person, one sick person, for example, it should come out that there is no third person who's going to get confused, listen to the wrong one, and it should be Taka Mutter.
Even if he's reading from a Chumash?
Correct.
But he's not hearing from Megillah.
Yeah, he's listening to the guy from the Megillah, and he's reading along.
Yeah, but you'll hear some things that you're saying, but you're not going to hear him in one word.
Again, what was the problem? The problem was that you're going to listen to, that a third party will listen to the wrong one.
There's no third party.
So let's make a deal. That means that there's nothing wrong with you reading it along. The problem is only somebody else will be listening and
you.
Be mechaving to the wrong one.
No, I hear that, but there's still a problem, though. Maybe you won't hear that one word.
Up.
I'm making
you're
this up. Why is that a problem, though?
That's not
why, but why isn't that a problem? Maybe you won't hear this.
Okay, that could
maybe
be
you'll miss
problem.
One word.
Right, but apparently that they're not
so worried. Make it your business not to miss the one word. That's
but
all.
You could accidentally do that when you say it.
You could accidentally miss it when you listen.
You differentiate and pull out one voice.
If you're listening to a choir of Baalei Koreh, all from Kosher Megillah, it's mutter.
Yeah, but because it doesn't make a difference which one you're listening to.
Yeah, anyone who heard is fine.
They're coming from a kosher club.
But you can't, if there are two voices,
and one
you can't
is kosher
necessarily
and
one distinguish one voice for the entire Megillah.
I don't know if you have to, but if one is going to be a pop from a...
But if you don't, if it's a combination of what you heard...
It could be you'll be mechaving to the wrong one. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe you'll be mechaving to the wrong. You're mechaving to the guy who has the better ivra. Right, he's in the next chaz. He's the better river. But I'm sorry, he's not learning from Megillah. That's going to be a problem.
Why isn't anybody bringing up the problem of missing? You miss a word or two.
So hold on.
On a home of
says the Mishnah Berurah.
I still understand it.
Says the Mishnah Berurah. I have another reason, not like we saw in the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yosef. I have another reason why you should not read along with the Baal Koreh. Look at the second paragraph in the Mishnah Berurah, source number 5. Aval Yesh Machmir B'chol Gavne. Maybe the problem is. That if you, even if you're alone with the Baal Koreh, no one else is there. There's no third person there. It's just you listening to the Baal Koreh. You might focus on what? You might focus on
what you're doing,
your own, what you're doing, and not on what's written right in the You're going to get distracted by what you're learning, and you're going to get this. I don't know, you're going to lose your place, and you're not going to follow what the Baal Koreh is saying, and therefore, even if you, it's just you and the Chazan himself, you should be mad.
That's what reason, I said right at the very beginning, for
this reason is, it's not, I don't know how strong this is. There's no source in anywhere for this.
But isn't it logical? You can miss one thing, and that makes sense.
Maybe.
How would this correspond to, let's say, Shabbos, a lady, regular lady from the Pasha? Somebody wants to go ahead quietly.
Excellent question.
That's what I was saying. I'm reading Shnai Mikveh Targum.
I didn't want to get into that, but the halacha is explicit.
That's what I asked before.
The halacha is explicit that if you hear, during Kriyas HaTorah, somebody saying along, you're supposed to say, shh. You're supposed to be Mugayar, but you're supposed to, I'll tell you a story. It's very embarrassing. I was in Eretz Yisrael in a certain yeshiva, but she was a big Tom Chacham, and I was in my own little world. I was, I guess, 18, 19 years old, really on fire doing my Steinmikra, probably just having started, you know, getting into my Steinmikra. And I was reading along, and I was didn't even realize the Rosh Yeshiva. I was standing that far from the Rosh Yeshiva, and he was saying shh, the whole like for like seven times. I didn't even realize he was talking to me because I thought I was doing the right thing. I was reading along, but he was doing what the person said. You're supposed to be goer. You're supposed to stop somebody who's reading along. Sometimes it happens. You hear people in shul reading along. You're supposed to tell them shh. They're not supposed to do that.
Can you be yotze if you're on this corner of the shul and nobody has you, and you're using that as one of your shteimikra?
So lechatchila in hilchas shteimikra vechatagim, it is better to not do that. But if you're going to be pressed for time and you're not going to do shteimikra properly, then it is permitted to read along with the Baal Korah, and that counts as one of them. So you only have to read one time on your own.
Right. That's what I was actually taught.
Yeah.
But
that's what I was
saying. You shouldn't do that.
You have to do it very quietly. Yeah, do it quietly. Yeah, I also do that because it's just time.
Yeah, me too.
Could be. Okay, that's the end of that piece. Fine. So halacha lemaisa, if you have your own Megillah, if you have your own Chumash, don't read along. Listen to the Baal Korah for whatever reason. Next point. This is more less of a halacha, practical halacha, but more love.
What happens if somebody has a kashrut
megillah? Then it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that it should be
quiet.
Fine.
If he's quiet,
doesn't make a difference. Yeah, doesn't make a difference. No, you can
no somebody else hears
if you want. Because what's the worst comes to worst? He'll hear both of you. Two voices are yes heard when it comes to megillah.
No. There's another problem. He might hear the certain words from this guy next to him better than that one, so he doesn't really hear that for a word. And if he's not hearing the whole Megillah being read from a kosher, a thing that somebody wants to be motzi me in, because he's only doing it for himself.
Oh, yeah, that could be. If you listen,
he doesn't have
the
kabbalah to be motzi you if you hear it.
Yeah, that could be a problem. That's true.
Yeah,
you don't have to
that's
kosher
though. That's what.
Okay, a totally new point, and this is a very geschmacka piece of lamdas, which I have said. In different contexts, I get to say this piece of lamdas in different times, you'll see why. Aseres B'nai Hama. So we know that two things are special about Aseres B'nai Hama. Number one, the Baal Korah reads them the Neshima Achas. And number two, it's one of the psukim that we say out loud. What's the reason that we repeat it out loud? Let's see what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there are a number of psukim that we read out loud. Ish Yehudi, Mordechai Yatza, Layehudim HaSa'ora, Ki Mordechai Yehudi. Those are four psukim, right? Those are the four psukim that you're supposed to read out loud. Why? Well, we'll see in a minute. But the Aruch HaShulchan counts a fifth pasuk. וגם חמש מרס איש ועד עשרס בני המן ועשרס בכלל. אומרים הציבור, why did the ציבור say all these five psukim out loud? Because משום דבזה have an עיקר הישועה. These five psukim represent the primary yeshua that happened in the Megillah. Is this a Gemara? Are you supposed to say these psukim? I don't learn Megillah recently. Is it a Gemara that says you're supposed to say these four psukim? I don't recall. Anyway, it's not for psukim. He quotes five psukim. He includes the pasuk of Chamesh Meis Ish Ves Parshan Dath Ves Dalfon Ves Adalya Ves. Okay, look at the next source. The next source is just that one that we all know, and it says the Shulchan Aruch Tofer Ish Tzadi Tzivit Tzivav says that when you say says Bnei Haman, based on the Gemara, you're supposed to say Hakol Neshima Achas. Why? To teach you a historical fact. They're all hung at the same time, simultaneously, on the same tree. Like the Gemara says, they're all hung at the same time. Now,
Baruch Hashem.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
There's a question if you should say Aseres B'nei Haman yourself or not. Let me step back. I want to ask you a question that's nothing to do with Megillah, nothing to do with Purim, but the following. Alam de Shechakira. We have a din called Shomea Ka'ona. In the din of Shomea Ka'ona, does that mean that he says words, and I'm Yotze, what he said, I'm Yotze? That's A. Or B, When he says the words, it's as though I said those words.
That's technically
okay. Let me give you some examples. There's a gigantic question when it comes to Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, do we use say Shomei Kohanim by Birchas Kohanim? Let's say, for example, Mr. Wilmaski has a beautiful voice. A beautiful voice. I actually, my father's shul in Flatbush, there was an elderly Kohen who had the worst voice in the world. Mamish, tone deaf, half deaf, forget it, tone deaf, he was deaf.
There's a Kohen like that in every crowd.
No, mamish was, like I've never heard before.
Yeah, you weren't in this
like
show,
I never heard before.
Yeah.
He's a relative, be careful, he's a relative.
Are you a Kohen? Oh, you are, awesome.
So, this Kohen had an absolute terrible voice. And we had a solution. The solution was, say to him very nicely and gently, you know what, stand up there, put your hands up, take off your shoes, put on your fancy socks, but just keep your mouth shut. And the guy next to you, Mr. Wilmowski, for example, has a beautiful, rich, robust Kohen voice, and he'll say, he'll do the Shomei Kohen. So that sounds great, right? Shomei Kohanim works in Kol HaTorah Kula. So it should work. So here, no, because you have to say it for Kol Ra. So the issue that Mr. Wilmowski raises, this issue that the Poskim discussed, is that besides the din that you have to say that Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, there's a separate halacha that has to be for Kol Ra. So the question is, does Shomei Kohanim make it, listen carefully to the Hakir, does Shomei Kohanim make it that instead of me saying the words, it's the use of the words? Well, that's not enough. It's not enough that when Mr. Blumansky says Yivarecha, the other guy also said Yivarecha, because that's not enough to be Yotzei the Din. You have to have the component of Kol Ram. So Shomei Kohanim could make it like you, this guy with the bad voice, is saying the words Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, but he's not also enabling the guy who's being silent to fulfill the din of Kol Ram. Or do we say that Shomei Kohanim makes it that the speaker, whatever the speaker is doing, that you take him, you transpose it on the guy who's being silent. If Mr. Wilmowski is saying Yivarecha and he's doing the Kol Ram, we take that whole unit, that whole combined unit of Yivarecha with Kol Ram and put it on the silent person and say it's as though the silent person is saying the words and he's doing the Kol Ram. That's the question. What is the parameter of Shomei Kohanim?
The idea of a Kol Ram is that the listener should hear you. Now, if you do, you're Shomei Kohanim, but he can't hear you. So that's not Kol Ram. You could hear the other guy, but he can't hear
you. You're Dashin and Taima Dikra. I like your Svara. You might be right, and you might not be right. I don't know. The Torah says Amar, which teaches us that it has to be a Kol Ram. I don't know why the Torah said it. I'm not God. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not right. I don't know. You might be right. Don't know.
I don't think
anything. I'm not
sure. Confer bracha to somebody requires. That's where the din of Kol Ram comes in.
No, it comes from Omar. Doesn't it come from Omar?
Yeah.
I like your machshavas. But before you pass it on the machshavas, we have to be ready. We have to know that that's.
I don't think anybody has. I don't think any such a habamina. It's not magic. You can't go ahead and say that Shomei Kohen of Shatu, the one who hears it, is now speaking. He's not speaking.
Shomei Kohen.
It means something else. That it means that, that if I'm Shomei and I have a chiyuv of saying it, as if I said it, but I didn't say it. Or Pshat is, no, I don't have to say it. The fact that I'm Shomei, I'm Yaitzer. But no one could say that. You need Kohen Ram.
Okay, next. I'll give you another example that you might like. Okay, next case. Next case. That could be true. Amen might be an added dimension. Next case. Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer. Could the rabbi or anyone else be motzi somebody else, not just for the bracha, but also on the counting itself? Why not? The rabbi says, Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. So if you listen, I've come on Allah Hotzi, you have come on Allah Tzeis. So sounds good. It's as though you said, Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. But maybe, Bamar doesn't hold like this, but maybe one can argue that in Sfiras HaOmer, but it's not a din to say words, Hayom Yom Echad HaOmer, you also have to do a counting. A counting is a what? It's not words coming out of your mouth. There's a mental, something happened, you counted. You did a Sfira. It's not that you said words. When you say words, Shemek Ona can make his words count as though you said. I should say the words. His words are considered as though you said words. But maybe by Sfiras HaOmer, you have to have more than just you're saying the words. You have to have a counting. And even if I listen quietly and I'm yotzi with the guy who said, the rabbi, for example, who said Hayom Yom Echad HaOmer, it's as though I said those words, but I didn't do a counting, a Sfira. Or do we say no? Shemek Ona makes it that whatever he did, it's as though you listened, it's as though you did, as though you not only said Yom HaKadomer, it's also as though you counted. Yeah. That's the same Chakira.
So now you have to talk about Tosfos and Rashi. So my talk is Tosfos and Rashi. If you do Shemek Ona while you're davening Shemona Esrei, whether that's called a mafsik. Tosfos holds you on mafsik. Obviously Tosfos holds
it. It might be connected to Machlokas. Right, it might be telling that machlokas. It could be telling that machlokas, possibly.
Possibly.
We do a pshara. Well, listen to this. Listen to what the Ragachavar said. There's the Ragachavar Gaon's chiddush that is quoted here in Tzipei Zefrayim's Het Tzvi. The Ragachavar, in the last paragraph, says an incredible vart. He says a beautiful vart. You can say this over at your perm studa. We asked, why do you have to say Aseres Bnei Haman out loud? So Aruch HaShulchan says, well, it's one of the five famous psukim of Yeshua. Says Rav Gershover, absolutely not. There are only four psukim of Yeshua. You know why you have to say Aseres Bnei Haman? Why everyone in the Tzivu says Aseres Bnei Haman? Because we saw there's a halacha that Aseres Bnei Haman has to be v'neshima achas. When you're listening to the Baal Koreh Lane, what are you doing? You're having in mind that what he says... You're being Yotze. That's what Kriyas HaMegillah is. The Baal Koreh says, Aseres Bnei Haman, you're Yotze. The Baal Koreh says, I'm sorry, Vayihi B'mei HaShoreshu HaShoreshu HaMelech Me'od V'Adkush. It's as though you said from a Megillah, Vayihi B'mei HaShoreshu HaShoreshu HaMelech Me'od V'Adkush. But what can Shomei Ka'ona not do? It can't fulfill the din of Neshima Achas. Neshima Achas. And therefore, every person has to fulfill that din of Neshima Achas on their own. And therefore, says the Ragachav Gaon, the reason why everybody in the shul has the Shulchan Aruch Paskin has to say Aseres Bnei Haman themselves is to fulfill the din of Neshima Achas, because that Shomei Kona doesn't have the capacity to do. Shomei Kona only makes it. He says it, says no, you said it, but it doesn't take the way he said it. The way the Chazan said that the Chazan said Shomei Achas, it makes it Shomei. I'm sorry. His Neshima Achas doesn't make it as though your Amir is B'Neshima Achas. It just makes it. He said it, you said it. But that added din, that added underlying din of Neshima Achas can't be transposed, can't be transferred via Shomei Kona. And that's why you, the listener, every person in the shul, has to say the Pasuk himself, B'Neshima Achas, because that is necessary to be Yotzi, the din of Neshima Achas. You hear that? Then according to the Ragachav Gaon, there's no point in you saying the pasuk. The whole point of you saying the pasuk, according to the Ragachav, is only so that you could say it's
Neshima Achas. I don't think it's Me'ake.
It's not Me'ake, but it's the din of the Shulchan Aruch.
If you took a breeze, you ask again.
But that's the point. That's according to the Ragachav Gaon, that's the... again, the Aruch HaShulchan said no. The Aruch HaShulchan had a totally different way of understanding why you say that pasuk. It's just one of the happy psukim. Just like the other psukim we read in addition to the Chazarin. Because it's a happy pasuk, we want to all... celebrate this, you know, Pasuk of the Yeshua, this turning point, this Yeshua Pasuk. Fine. That was a Shtickel Torah that I just shared with you from Tzipei Zefrayim in his Shas Shuvah's Hai Tzvi in Aruch Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simon Chanan Zayin, who talks about this Ragashavar, and who talks about the Cheskonim. That's a Lamed Shul point, period. Now let's go towards the finish line with another question. We know that you're not supposed to eat before you do a mitzvah. Whenever there's a mitzvah that sets in, you're supposed to do the mitzvah that you have to do without eating before you do the mitzvah. Just like we see by Sviyasa, you're not supposed to eat before Sviyasa Omer, you're not supposed to eat before you bet Shulav and Esra, you're not supposed to eat before Yudav and Mari, you say Kriyash Mashal Arvis. As long as there's Hanukkah, 100% correct.
How much time before can't you?
Once the Zman comes.
You can eat and then wait and then do it after?
I don't understand. What?
Eat, wait a little bit.
Once this man for mitzvah comes, you're not supposed to
eat. The chiyuv is there, you have to do the mitzvah.
Once the chiyuv comes, you're not allowed to eat. Right, so like...
But you have time to say the, to do the chiyuv, you can do it the next half hour.
Again, when it's time for hadlakas near Hanukkah, you're not allowed to eat until you do the hadlaka. Once the zman hadlaka comes, you're not allowed to eat. Similarly, in the morning, if you haven't done the lulav, you're not supposed to eat before you do the lulav. If you haven't done tefillin, you're not supposed to eat before you do the mitzvah tefillin. That's hadlaka with all mitzvahs that apply at a certain
right?
time. What?
You could nash before you light Hanukkah candles. You just can't complete a suda.
That is correct. You could have a ki'ima. You could have a small ki'imas harai. Yeah.
The Rav is saying that since the Zman is first thing in the morning, you absolutely cannot have breakfast or anything until you've done it. Is that true?
That's our question.
Okay.
But let's say, let's not be so harsh, because let's say you went to shul, you heard Megillah, and now it's 10 o'clock in the morning, now you want to eat breakfast before you get into Mishloach Manos gear. In Mishloach Manos, it's a whole thing. You have to pack up the car, you have to get the list from your wife, you have to make sure all the last things. Let's fix your costume. It's going to take, and then you're going to be out for 3 hours. Do you want to eat before you go? Can you eat before you go?
Yes, why not?
Why not? Because you have a mitzvah to do. You're not allowed to eat once you, when you have a chiyuv to do that, then that's not.
I'm saying, nibble something if you're hungry.
Right, that's what he mentioned before. That a little tiny snack.
Yeah,
but breakfast,
you need to eat a meal.
Breakfast is a problem. Breakfast, so if you have a bowl of cereal, that's a kibbutz of mizonos, that's a problem. Are you allowed to have a bowl of cereal, a bowl of Wheaties outside of the sukkah? No.
Outside the sukkah?
Correct, outside the sukkah.
No.
No, why not? Because it's an achilas. Oh, exactly. It's an achilas kvias, right. So a bowl of cereal, a bowl of Wheaties, a raisin bran, you're not allowed to eat.
Can't eat before mincha? You can't eat before mincha?
In the afternoon, okay, if you don't have a set time, rather than going to now.
No,
right.
But you can do these things later.
No.
Any of these mixes you can do later. You don't, it's not a zman you have to do by this hour.
Bedikas chametz. Once the zman bedikas chametz comes, you're not allowed to eat. Once it's time, the Zman of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah comes, you're not allowed to eat.
It's incentive to do it on time, as early as possible. You should not forget it.
Because we don't want you to come involved in the eating.
And
so that's the question that Rav Yitzchak
Silberstein
raises in his Sefer Chashukei Chemed. Ha'im mutar l'achol kol mishloach manos. So you can really go in a lot of directions here. There's a lot of svaras that you could say. So he quotes his Shver. Who's his Shver?
Rav
Yashiv. Mori v'chami maran hagan Rav Yosef Shlomo Yashiv Shlita, unfortunately now it's that Sal, said that it's mutter. And he gives two reasons why this mitzvah, Mishloach Manos, is different than all the other mitzvahs where it is prohibited to eat before you fulfill the mitzvah. Number one, eating itself is
mitzvah.
The same mitzvah, no different than the mitzvah Mishloach Manos and Matar Zavyonim. It's one of the mitzvahs Hayom. It's Suda. So that's what he says. Gama Suda Yachas Mitzvah Hayom. Any eating that you do, if you have a chocolate bar at 9:30 in the morning, I don't know how you guys are, but when the first thing that I usually eat on Purim day is milchka chocolate. That's my favorite part of any Mishloach Manos is the milk chocolate that we get. So I'm not interested in having raisin bran who wants raisin bran on Purim? You can have like chocolate, good stuff. So that's, guess what? That's also Suda's Purim. And Madua Adifa Mitzvah Mishloach Manos. This is Suda's Purim. Why do you have to do Mishloach Manos before Suda's Purim? Have your chocolate bar first, or your cake first before your whatever you want to eat before your. That's also no less than the Mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Secondly, Heyos Vaharagila Susha Zeshaleich Lezev Zelzev. The way Purim works is I send to you, you send to me. I go to your house, you come to my house. So what's the whole concern? Why are you not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah? Because you're going to?
Forget.
Well, if people are knocking on your door, and you are going to be sent to other people, and if not, then at least people will be knocking on your door, so you're going to be reminded. And therefore, it's like you have a shomer. It's the same idea of having a shomer before to remind you to do a mitzvah.
You
that should be the problem. So solve the problem, what?
You may not get. If you have three guys on a block, two of them.
Okay, it's possible. There are some people who don't get any mishloach manos, but most people do get a mishloach manos over the course of the
program. I mean, I didn't realize that was the reason. I thought the reason was Mr. Polyesco was trying to be sent.
No, the reason is that you might become
involved in the eating and the program of the
mitzvah.
If you're going to forget to do the mitzvah,
And then he quotes the Shas of Mishnah Halachas, and it's Reb Menashe HaKotan Klein, Mishnah Halachas is Menashe HaKotan Klein, I think, who gives two other svaras. The first one he gives is really Gishmak. What does the Pasuk say? Mishteh v'simcha u'mashloach monos ish l'ri'ehu. What's the order of the Pasuk? The order of the Pasuk, the Torah is telling, what's the order? The Torah says Mishteh is first. So of course, do Mishteh first. Finally, a very lamdish svara. I think it's a beautiful svara. What's the whole reason for Mishloach Manos? Why is there a mitzvah Mishloach Manos? So this is Machlokas Rishonim, actually. One of the opinions, Shlomo Al-Kabetz, the author of Lechadodi in his Sefer, Manos HaLevi, suggests that the point of Mishloach Manos is to just be marba achva v'reis. Yeah. The Trumas Hadeshim says no, it's to make sure that every Jew has food for their Purim Suda.
It's very funny.
That's what Trumas Hadeshim says, right? According to Trumas Hadeshim, you can't just send a Mike and Ike and a Snickers bar. Send something for a Suda. That's the proper way to send a Mishloach Manos, at least one. That's what the Trumas Hadeshim says. So if that's the case, if the whole purpose of Mishloach Manos is to... What was our question? Are you allowed to do Mishloach Manos before you eat? Hello? What's the whole point of Mishloach Manos? To make sure that people have food to eat. So what do you want to do? You want to eat? Well, the whole purpose of Mishloach Manos is to make sure there's food to eat. You want to eat? Go ahead. Of course. Of course you could eat first. Because the eating is the whole goal of the Mishloach Manos. Look how he says, Hatash Mishloach Manos, Mishloach Manos, Mishloach Manos, Mishloach Manos. Okay, that's a little bit different. See, he's saying a different svar, that if you're able to eat first, then you'll be in a better mood, you'll give more properly. That's the svar that he says.
What about the fact he didn't give a Matanas of Yonim? Like the Rav goes around, let's say, 5 o'clock, giving out the Matanas of Yonim. He hadn't dispensed the money.
So the svar that we saw earlier, that the Pasuk says, Mishteh first, answers the question. The svar that we said earlier from Eliyashiv, that Su'ud is also a Mitzvah Sayom, answers the question. Those two edges sort of still work, even from Matan Sabiyah. Okay, that's in that point. Let's finish off the shir just with something very halachah lemaisa. Many shuls and schools and businesses have online Mishloach Manos. You want to send Mishloach Manos to somebody, so send in, you know, $15 or $50 for the whole everything all of the day. And the school will send you a Mishloach Manos to so-and-so, to the Rebbeim from the school, and your name will be on a list. And this happens a week or 2 weeks before Purim. You pay your 20, 50, whatever the money is before Purim, and it's delivered on Purim. So are you Yotze with that? So, says the Rebbe Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo, page 337, Mishloach Manos Hanasa Yidei Baalei Chanos, a store. Right, you ordered an online one of these, Purim.org. Omosav v'chadoma apit tzivi hamishalech v'schayvusa l'shalim shivi hamanos yotze bo yidei chava. If you tell the person in the school, the shul, the ladies' auxiliary, the women's committee, or you tell the store owner or the Purim to go owner, yotze bo yidei chava. That's A. And similarly, even though there are numerous, sometimes the way it works with the yeshivas is you can have 20 people sign on to a Mishloach Manos that's given to the Rebbe. But there are three items in this. There's a bottle of wine, there's a box of cookie, a box of Hamantaschen, and a nice bar of chocolate. But there are 20 people who signed on there. So you don't even have one item per person. You certainly don't have two items per person. Says Rosh Hashanah, Risham, Kama b'nei Adam, Mishloach Manos, b'shutfas. He says you do need the quantity of products to be two times the number of subscribers. So if you can have what?
You need one bottle or like per revius or
two manas. What's a mana? Mana maybe is a whole bottle might be a mana. Two items. Right? No one says that you could give two hamintash to fulfill the did, right? Why? Because no one calls it two manos. Two different items. No one's going to say a bottle of wine is two minim either. So you need two different things. So if you're going to have, sometimes they have, let's say Darche, for example, it's a gigantic school, and they have an option for $54. It was Darche Tech, I don't remember. I just saw it on my credit. My wife did it, but I just own the credit card bill. So $54, and you get to send the Mishloach Manos to every faculty member in the whole school. There are 200 faculty members. Obviously, if you have enough, if you have 200 parents do this, 400 parents do this, it's going right. to, the schools, the ladies of Zoo is going to make it a myth.
I mean, do you think people take this serious that they have a kindness?
Okay, that's right. Right. Well, okay, let's say.
It's a fundraiser.
Right, of course. People are going to give separately. Right.
Let's
but right. if they're going to give, if they're going to be 40 people, let's say there's a Rebbe, and he has 30 kids in his class, and 15 of the kids, 15 of the kids, signed up for this way of giving the Mishloach Manos, so there will need to be 30 items in the basket, which is usually not the case. So in that sense, that's one tweak that will have to be tweaked by the ladies auxiliaries of Klal Yisrael. Which be zocha to a freilichen Purim, a safe Purim, zocha to yoki all the mitzvahs.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.